be with you all this morning. I think you've gathered what the theme is. It's all about being prepared. Now, obviously, there's two very special people being prepared this week to come and move in to join you. It was rather exciting because when I was here last, it was an exciting day because you were all going to vote on whether you wanted to accept this new minister, and there was this wonderful air of anticipation here, and now it's happening. And so this week, he and the family will be getting prepared, packing, and doing all sorts of things. So it's very, very exciting. Well, this morning, we're going to think about being prepared as well, but being prepared for the return of Jesus. And that actually is the most important thing that we can ever, ever be prepared for. Everything else is wonderful, but prepared for the return of Jesus should be number one on our priority. Well, our reading is from Matthew's Gospel, and it's chapter 25. You can find it on page 994, but I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. So it's Matthew 25. And this is Jesus talking, obviously sharing a parable, which will be very well understood by these people in this day. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, "Oh, please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves." But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return." And of course, it's a very strange story to us. We've had a couple of weddings at our church recently, and I'm sure you've all been to a wedding at some time or other in your life. And it's the bride who's anxious, it's the groom rather, who's anxiously waiting. Keeps looking, is the bride coming, is the bride coming? And she is allowed to be a little late. Some are more late than others, but you know more or less what time, because it'll actually say on your wedding invitation what the time is. Now, this is in a totally different culture. Absolutely very hard for us to understand, because it's not like that at all. In this culture, it's the bridegroom who comes, and the shout actually has to go in front of him, "The bridegroom's coming." But the bridesmaids have the job of going out and meeting him. Now, you were still not allowed to be out in the streets without a light. So you had to have your lamps with the oil in them, like a flame making it light up. You just weren't allowed to do that. And then you all proceeded onto the feast. When everyone arrived there, the bridegroom had gone in, and the doors were shut. No one else then was allowed in. Very different, as I say, from ours. So this story would have been very well understood by the people in the time of Jesus. But of course, the whole point of the parable was be prepared, because the bridegroom could come at any time. He didn't have a set time to arrive. It could be any time that day or even the next. And everyone had to be ready. And even when he came at night, you had to be ready. And of course, Jesus was saying, the Jews who should have been ready for the coming of the Messiah, they weren't prepared, they weren't ready. But it also applies to you and me. Are we ready? Well, of course, it's all about being prepared, because if you're not prepared, as we read in this parable, the consequences are dire, really dire. Have you ever been caught napping? You found yourself totally unprepared. It's not a very nice feeling. These bridesmaids, it wasn't a nice feeling when they suddenly realized, oh, my goodness, they hadn't got their extra oil. Because you see, it had gone on too long, and so they hadn't got enough. But I guarantee for us, when the washing up is all piled up on the worktop, it hasn't been washed, it hasn't been stacked up nicely, when all the washing up's all waiting for us to tackle, when the beds haven't been made, and when the place is an absolute mess and a tip, do you know what? That's when the doorbell will ring. That's when someone will arrive and say, oh, I've just popped round to see you. And you think, oh, no. Oh, if only, and the bedroom door might be ajar, and you think, oh, what a mess in there. You're caught napping. Well, my husband was a scout many, many years ago. And of course, as all of you know, the motto, as always for scouts, was be prepared. Great motto for the whole of life. But even now, if we're out for the day, going out for a walk or whatever, in true Boy Scout tradition, he takes his rucksack, and in his rucksack, you will always find matches and string, and at the bottom of the rucksack, a toilet roll. Be prepared. My mother-in-law actually was a very prepared person. She'd had once a most awful experience. She was out doing her shopping in the town, and her knickers fell down. Because in those days, some of you might remember, we had elastic in our knickers, not like they are today when they're already made elasticated. This was elastic that you threaded. Well, from that day on, she was prepared for such an eventuality, almost until the day she died. She wore a safety pin, which attached her knickers to her vest, because she always wore a vest. Well, of course, this made the downfall totally impossible. So she was always felt that was... And I said, Mum, the knickers today aren't like that. You're all right, you don't need your safety pin with modern knickers. But anyway, she always had her safety pin. And I can remember my mum always saying to me, wear clean, decent underwear, because you never know when you're going to be knocked down by a bus. I'm sure many of you have been told the same by your mothers. Be prepared. Don't get caught napping. But you know, these five bridesmaids in Matthew's gospel, they were caught napping. But sadly, their napping caused not just fun and hilarity, their napping caused tragic consequences. The story that Jesus has just told, he knew how important it was, because he knew how important it was for us to be prepared for when he comes back again. Because not being prepared, the consequences are quite disastrous. Can you imagine how those bridesmaids felt? They just didn't miss the wedding, they were locked out. And when they eventually turn up, they're told, it's too late. It's too late. Jesus said, I don't know you. This is serious, serious stuff. It's warning us to be prepared for the return of Jesus. You see, we tend to forget that he's coming back. The early disciples were always living in the hope that Jesus was going to return. But as the years have gone by, we sometimes forget that Jesus is coming back. You know, it's no good, as we've heard in our prayers, the A-level results are out and the O-level results, the GCSE results will be out this coming week. But you know, it's no good preparing after you've sat the exam, is it? You have to prepare before the exam happens, because otherwise, time has run out. Jesus went to great pains to teach us to be ready for his return, because the consequences are eternal. So how can we make sure that we are ready? How can we prepare for Jesus' coming? Well, I want to align it a little bit like preparing to sell a house. It won't totally hold true, but a little bit. Well, the first thing, if you were going to sell your house, the first thing I think we would do would be to clean it. It always amazes me when we've got ready ourselves to move our house in the past, I can't believe the amount of dirt and marks. I'd live with it all those years. We'd never noticed all those dirty marks and the stains. We'd lived with it. But when you come to sell, you start seeing it. And what about when you move a wardrobe or a bed and you find the fur coat of dust underneath the bed and under the wardrobe? But you see, when we come face to face with Jesus, we need to make sure that we've cleaned, that we are clean and cleansed. That's easier said than done. Have you ever made New Year's resolutions? How many of them have you kept? Paul in Romans says this: it seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I'm sure we can relate with that. Have you found yourself being mad at the way you reacted to someone, knowing full well you didn't really mean to react in that way, but you just did? Have you found those lies slipping out to cover something up, to try to make you look good, to make you look better and not a fool? You might say, yes, but I'm not that bad, really. Well, I've never murdered. Well, what did Jesus say about that command? He said this in Matthew: you've heard that the law of Moses says, do not murder. If you commit murder, you're subject to judgment. But I say, if you're angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. Ooh, that makes a big difference between being a murderer and just getting very angry with somebody. You see, it's all about us needing to be up to God's standards, not our own standards. God's standard is perfection. Jesus summed up all the commandments like this. In Mark's gospel, we read, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Have we done that? Have we loved God with our entire selves? Have we put God first in our lives, in our thinking, and in our acting? The truth is that most people are actually ignoring God or only calling out to him in times of great need or trouble. Most people are keeping God on the sidelines of their life, never wanting to let him get too involved in their plans. Have we loved others totally, unselfishly, forgiving them as Jesus has forgiven us? Can we honestly say we've kept these two commandments, the greatest commandments of all, 100%? No, of course not. There's nobody in this room that could say we have loved God with every fiber of our being and loved our neighbor in the way that God is calling us to. We are far from perfect. We are short of God's standards, not short of our own standard, which we compare with the person down the road, but we're short of God's standard. Paul, the great writer to the Romans, knew this to be true. And he said this in Romans chapter 3: for all have sinned. All fall short of God's glorious standard. So, how can it be possible to be made clean? How can it be possible to reach that 100% standard? Well, John said in his letter, if we say we have no sin, if we say, oh, well, look, we're better than the person down the road, we're only fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. How can this be? You know, when we're moving house and we want to get rid of all the dirt and the grime, it takes a lot of hard work. It's exhausting. Even if we're not selling and we just want to do a weekly cleanup, we feel quite exhausted and ready to sit down with a cuppa at the end of it. But you know what? The amazing news of the gospel is that the effort is on God's part. To cleanse us isn't us trying to be good enough, because we can never, ever, ever be good enough. No matter how much we try, we will never reach perfection. No, the effort was on God's part. This is the good news of the gospel. Listen to these verses in Romans chapter 3. Yet now, God, in his gracious kindness, declares us not guilty. He has done this through Christ Jesus, who has freed us by taking away our sins. Elsewhere, we read in the Bible, our sins as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. For God sent Jesus to take the punishment for our sins and to satisfy God's anger against us. We are made right with God when we believe that Jesus shed his blood, sacrificing his life for us. And God declares sinners to be right in his sight because they believe in Jesus. Can we boast then that we've done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on our good deeds. It's based on our faith. That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. Being made clean does not depend on us being good enough. So each day when you get up in the morning, you think, yes, I better do this. I must do that. I must be good enough. God says, no, obviously God wants us to live a life that's good, but that won't get you into heaven because no matter how good we are, we'll never reach perfection. It's based not on our works, but it's based on our faith. Well, get back to the thought about selling our house. Today, if you want to sell your house, very much the thought is declutter. Get rid of the mess. How cluttered are our lives? Are they so busy, so full, that there's no space for Jesus? Let's start living as if Jesus is coming back tomorrow, or indeed later today. We would certainly declutter quickly if we really believe that. We would get rid of things in our lives that spoil us, that make us messy. Hebrews chapter 12 says this, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Things like unforgiveness. My word. Think back in your life, how many times have you been in a situation where you feel, I can't forgive? Bitterness. Bitterness comes in from all sorts of things, jealousy, envy. All sorts of things cause bitterness, but it's a terrible thing. It messes up our lives. We've got to learn to let go. Let go of the offense that's been done against us. Let go of the things that have upset us. You see, we can't afford to let the past poison and clutter up the present. Let's get rid of selfishness. Selfishness clutters up all of our life. It squashes out Jesus because it puts us first. Selfishness is a present-day culture. You've only got to watch the television adverts to know that. Life is all about me, me, me. It's more important to wear the right things than to be the right kind of person. It's more important to wear right labeled clothes or wear the right designer watch or shoes than to spend money on clothing those who have no clothes or feeding those who haven't got enough food. Present day culture puts us at the center of life. If it feels good, do it. Never mind the consequences. No, Jesus said our lives should be all about others. So let's clear up the mess. Get rid of the clutter, our unforgiveness, our bitterness, our anger, our selfishness, and be ready when Jesus comes. Getting ready is not just, when selling a house, it's not just about decluttering, it's putting right things in place that look right and good. So don't just get rid of things. We need to become the kind of people that Jesus would like us to be. We need to put the right things in place in our lives. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians talks of the return of Jesus, and he urges his readers to do this in 1 Thessalonians. Live in a way that pleases God. God wants you to be holy. Wow, that's a challenge. That's a huge challenge, because so often we live in a way that pleases us, that pleases me. But no, God says live in a way that pleases God. God wants you to be holy. Put that in place in your life. Get rid of the nasty things, but put that in place. If Jesus came back today, would we be ashamed? Forgiven, yes. which is the qualification for getting into the kingdom of God, but would we be ashamed? Are our lives pleasing to Him? Are our thoughts and our actions holy? Can people see Jesus in us? I wonder if what we do behind closed doors matches up to who we profess to be. I can always remember someone saying that to me a long time ago, and that was a real challenge, because often it's indoors that we let our masks down. It's often indoors that we rant and rave at our spouses, that we lose our temper, that we get upset, that we get angry. But we've got to look at all these things. Is what you do behind closed doors, is that the same as what who you profess to be? A servant of the living God. No, we need to renew our attitude. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, says Paul, writing to the Philippians. We need to renew our minds. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't think how the world thinks. Think of how does God want us to be, not how others want us to be. Have we put reading our Bibles and praying in place? If we knew we were going to meet Jesus soon, our daily focus will be to listen to Jesus, to hear and do what he says, to be the kind of person he's calling us to do. And we can achieve that a lot more if we only were spend time reading the Bible and praying. If you find it difficult to read the Bible, well, get a modern translation. There are so many today. The New Living Translation, I just love that. It's brilliant. But the Message, gosh, if you read the Message, it brings things alive in a way that nothing else does, because it's a little bit more than a translation, but it helps us to really find out what it's saying. Start with the Gospels, because as you read the Gospels, you read about Jesus, the kind of person he was, how he loved people, how he forgave people, how he cared for people. You'll be challenged to be like him. Read the letters that the disciples wrote to the churches. They'll keep you on your toes. They'll sort you out. They'll encourage you to get rid of the mess in your lives, and they will encourage you to put godly things in place. Because this is what Paul said about the Bible, God's word. He says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. But you see, we need to read our Bibles to find that out, to make it part of our lives. So let's make sure we're living daily with putting the right things in place, living a life that pleases God, both in our thought life and our actions, and reading his word and praying so that we won't be ashamed at his coming. Finally, to prepare for selling a house, we want it to be attractive. We want our house to attract others. Well, in the TV shows and the manuals written on how to sell your house, they'll tell you this. Make it attractive. Put the lights on. You know, if you put lights on, it will transform the way your room looks. Even if it's a sunny day, make it even brighter. Always put fresh flowers out. They make quite a difference. And I love this one. Put on the coffee maker. Because, you know, as soon as you put the coffee maker on, you get this wonderful aroma. And it's funny, even if people don't like coffee, the smell of coffee, actually the smell is often better than the taste, but the smell of the coffee and the noise of it percolating, it does something to people. So it makes your house attractive, makes people want to stay and explore the house. When Jesus returns, will he find us attractive and so attracting others into his kingdom? Because you know, that is our God-given purpose. To attract others into his kingdom. Our lives need to be attractive. Our light needs to shine into this dark world. Our good deeds, however good we are, it won't save us. Because as we said, we can never be good enough. But our good deeds have a purpose, and that is to draw others into the light of God. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a mountain, glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for all. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Just as a moth is attracted to the light, so others will be attracted to Jesus, not just by what we say, but by the way we live. I've never forgotten an evangelist who had a tent campaign some years ago. And at the end of his message that evening, a couple came forward and wanted to become Christians. And he said, well, what was it, you know, in this meeting this evening, what was it that made you decide that? Well, they said, actually, it wasn't anything in the meeting. It was our neighbours, because we've just recently moved. And when we moved in, they called us in, and even they brought in tea and coffee and biscuits. And ever since then, they've been so loving and helpful. And we just wondered, what is it that makes them tick? So we wanted to come here because we heard they were Christians. And so they came and found Jesus for themselves. But you see, it wasn't this couple's words even. It was their actions. And it was the way they lived, their care, their concern, their love. Are we living in such a way that people around us, our family, our neighbours, our work colleagues, the people we socialise with, do they see something in us that makes them want to find out more about Jesus? Now, that can take a lifetime, so don't get upset if your neighbours don't suddenly start wanting to come to church. Sometimes you can be working on people or trying to let your light shine for years, but all the time the Holy Spirit is working, although you may not know it. So, how prepared are you? How much time are you prepared to give to get your life in order, to be prepared to meet Jesus? None of us knows when Jesus is going to return. Jesus made this very clear. No one knows the hour. So we must be ready rather than ashamed at his coming, or worse still, shut out at his coming. One thing is sure, absolutely sure, that we will meet Jesus face to face, either at his coming or at our death. And no one knows when these things will be. They may take us totally by surprise. Jesus said this, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time the night the thief was going to come, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour you do not expect him. My dad was fine 1 minute, and the next he was lying on the floor dead, had a heart attack. We don't know when these things will happen. That's why Jesus says, be prepared. But sadly, the world rushes by, and you know, we're so wrapped up in our own little world, we haven't got time to consider or prepare for the greatest event that history will ever know, the return of Jesus Christ to this earth, or even to think and prepare for our own death. We don't like to think about death. We don't like to talk about death, but you know, we need to be prepared. Don't let it come on you unawares, as it can do so easily. Years ago, when we were first married, that's 51 years ago, Pat was asked to be best man to my second cousin's wedding in Newbury. We were living in Enfield at the time. Sadly, we were so busy that we didn't stop to think about being prepared. We were rushing around and jumping in the car and making sure we got things with us. But it sounds stupid, but we hadn't given it a thought that there could be a hold-up on the way. We just found out how long it would take us to get to Newbury from Enfield and set off. But consequently, we got on the M4. We were only, 30 minutes, I suppose, from Reading, from Newbury. And there were huge delays. And that delay, I can remember to this day, sitting in the car looking out. We couldn't do anything. Couldn't do a thing. We were just, everyone was sitting in their car, not moving an inch. Well, by the time we did move inches, the wedding was all over, and we missed the joy of Pat being the best man. Fortunately, we weren't shut out of the reception, but horror and shame filled us, and it did spoil the day for us. it really spoilt it because we were ashamed that we hadn't thought and got prepared beforehand. We kept saying, if only, but life can be full of if onlys, but if we try and be prepared, there won't be so many if onlys. So let's make sure we're ready. Forgiven, because that's the only way we can actually be received into the kingdom when the door won't be shut against us. We need to be forgiven and cleansed by Jesus, but we also need to be living lives that please him so that we won't be ashamed at meeting him. So let's do what Jesus told us to do. Stay awake and be prepared, for you do not know the day or hour of my return.